How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For nearly 8 years.
8 years.
And nearing 400 episodes.
400 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional Wrestling's podcast
of record.
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 And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
Hey, y'all.
Creepy.
That's me. Your uncle.
Yeah, Uncle Creepy.
And I can also be your daddy.
Yeah. Down south, backwoods,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
backwoods. You heard what he said?
What?
You heard what he said? He could be your uncle and your daddy.
That's a mixed up family. That's a family tree with one limb.
No branches. Yeah.
He said keep it in the family. Ew. Keep it in the family. Ew.
Keep it in the family. You see what he did?
Family,
he put
man.
The E in family. He put the E in
yeah.
family.
Yeah. Coco Crisp.
That's me.
Chuck E.
Yeah.
Got that, son.
That's
got
right.
That, with that pepperoni.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yo, uncle.
You know, hit a note, too. You know what tone? You know what key
and
is
your
what key?
Daddy.
What's his favorite constellation? Oh. The milk.
Off the dome, son. The dome, off the cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Off the cup.
You don't know about that.
You don't know.
You had no idea.
But you're going to learn something.
Late night jazz.
You're going to learn. Yeah.
You're going to learn
today.
You're going to learn.
You're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. We're going to take him to church. It's not Sunday, but we'll still take him to church.
Make you feel.
Hit him a no.
Get up out your seat.
Yeah.
Come on. New day giving you your favorite treat.
That's right.
That's songs. That's the gift of song. Cause you know that we are the best coming off the dome. Unlike the rest, we so high. We so good. We ain't smelly. He just creepy.
Now, some of you may find that offensive. Some of you may say, what the heck was going on? To me, where I live in the middle of the sticks, we call that every day. I know lots of people who live around here who are both their uncle and their daddy. Yeah. Yes. Incest, because everybody knows your name, because you're probably related. Welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection, where we have plenty of limbs on our tree, limbs that span more than one continent. I'm Jim Williams, filling in for Nikki Heyman, who, well, she's gone to hell in a handbasket in Brooklyn. Actually, New York proper. So it goes. Joining me on this voyage, he's old enough to be my granddaddy, yeah, Jason Block.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Yeah, that was a bit on the weird side, but this has been a weird week, and we're going to talk about it, so.
Absolutely, it's been a weird week. And now somebody who could be my brother and my cousin, huh? Chris Waters.
Excuse me one second, I got to check my script. Am I supposed to be Corporate Waters or Demon Waters tonight?
Ah, that's a good question. That's a very... very good question. And now, A guy who can just kick my ass all the way from Australia, Shane Bad News Beeman.
Dear God. And to find out that this stuff was actually 17 minutes long. Oh.
It was great, though. It was hilarious. Trust me, you have to watch it all in context. It's dufosity at its finest, really.
It's dufosity at its finest, don't get me wrong, but that... The start of it didn't really catch me. I was like, oh god, if there's 17 minutes of this crap, then bad news for everyone else.
So you're telling me you wouldn't want Creepy to be your uncle and your daddy?
No. No.
Better creepy than brony. That's all I gotta say, folks. We've got a lot to talk about. Later on, we have this big card happening at the Garden tomorrow night. A card that Joaquin steered clear from, thank you very much. Meteorological speak. Yeah, it always works. We also have an NXT TakeOver card to go over. Plus some big news for the Big Apple. And Jason is beaming from ear to ear over it because he's got...
Oh, you ain't kidding. You are not kidding. No way.
He's saving up money for the next two summers, I'll tell you that much. Also, a former TNA star goes to TNA and tells them to suck it. The Rock likes trucks. What kind of trucks? We'll tell you. And Hulk Hogan's a lucky mofo for once in his life. But we begin with some television news. I'm your media guy here, folks. Some would call me, Jason probably would call me, a media ho. I don't know why, but he is. Let's talk about Raw. If you've been noticing, the product has been pretty bland as of late, and it's reflecting in the ratings. It's one thing when we talk about it and we hear about it on Twitter and on various wrestling sites. Gentlemen, I point you to awfulannouncing.com. They're all over this, and they actually retweeted, or reposted, I should say, a tweet by my good buddy Justin Henry of Fighting Spirit magazine. Raw, ladies and gentlemen, is on a major downward trend. Here are some numbers. These are the first three Raw ratings combined during Monday Night Football season for the past 4 years. 2012, they averaged a 2.82. 2013, they averaged a 2.89. That's an increase of 2.5%. 2014, they're down to a 2.78, 3.8% decrease. So it's all within the family there. But this year, first three Raws have averaged an abysmal 2.4. That's a 13.7% decrease. Now, that still means Raw is seen by, 5 million viewers.
Actually, more like 3.3, I think it's like.
4 million viewers, 3 to 4 million viewers. Which, in this day and age, is still pretty, in the 1,000-channel universe we live in, hey, you'd be happy with that. Not WWE, and they're looking to rectify things, so I figured we would convene to start tonight and have a little bit of a think tank and try to go over what is causing the eroding viewership. This was, by the way, the lowest-rated Raw this past week since October 13th, 1997.
Damn!
That's the lowest for, a non-holiday weekend. So this was back during the Monday Night War. That's singular, not plural. So, Jason, I go to you first, and let's hypothesize, first of all, why are people tuning away from Raw? And the obvious answer I kind of gave initially in the tweets, that thing called football.
Yes, it is about football. And here's the problem. Every year, Vince knows, and Vince has known since Raw debuted, what is it now, 22 years ago?
Almost 20.
I think Raw's 20. Yeah. Okay. That Monday Night Football happens, okay? Football will happen. And what happens is that if you look at it from a yearly calendar perspective, we have the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania quarter, and then we have the WrestleMania to SummerSlam quarter. What happens is that after SummerSlam, the booking gets lazy sometimes. And in this particular case, you had a very
strong SummerSlam and a very strong SummerSlam weekend for that matter. Mm-hmm. And a pretty strong Raw after SummerSlam. But then what happened? I think that you just have a sense of booking laziness combined with something else, which we'll get into. There's a couple of things. But I'll just say booking laziness due to the fact that they forget that football's around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, football plays a role. But Chris, let me go to you. Do you factor in anything else, especially seeing a sizable decrease just from the last 365 days in the same time period, losing, you know, 10, 12% of your audience?
It's a combination of factors, I think. One, well, the ratings are kind of an iffy thing nowadays because of the DVR market. Now, because people wait until later to watch it. Two, there's this, if they're trying to market to kids, they say, and the school year started up, so that cost you some viewers there. Three, a lot of people just don't want to watch 3 hours of wrestling. And four, recently with Raw, if you miss like 5 weeks or something, you just come back in right whenever and haven't missed much, really, unless you didn't watch the pay-per-views or anything. So if you don't see something happening on Raw, the lack of interesting moments that could pop out at you, that's what I was trying to say, then there's really no reason to tune in, and you just watch some clips on YouTube and get the gist of what's important on Raw.
You hit one of the buzzwords I was going to bring up, YouTube, Chris, and let me go to Shane on this. The fact that we live in a DVR generation where you can fast forward through a 3-hour show and get about the nuts and bolts of it in 45 minutes or less, and the fact that, you know, WWE's on YouTube and the important things from each storyline are, you know, condensed and annotated on YouTube, how much of that do you think plays a role in the ratings erosion we've seen over the last couple of years, especially, though, the last few weeks?
Oh, sorry, I was actually just watching the Damon Kane choke slamming everyone on the hill and WWE SmackDown.
See,
on
you're
YouTube.
Part of the project. No, I'm kidding.
it's been a big, I don't want to say problem, but it just with the advancement of technology these days, like Chris brought up earlier, with DVR and with YouTube, there is going to be a decline in ratings because people are just going to be like, well, look, I've been working all day. I don't want to be freaking coming home and watching 3 hours of wrestling. I can easily do that on my day off on YouTube or DVR and watch the replay. But also Vince has got to know that, yes, where all this technology is part of the problem, he is also part of the problem. Vince, I completely respect the fact that you want to be Mr. PG and want to, like, you know, be politically correct and bring up the kids with a good environment. Here's the thing, though. People don't like political correct bullshit. People do not like the little PG stuff. The reason why you had such an increase during the Monday Night Wars was because you pushed the boundaries with crap. And now you're getting to that point again where you're going to have to start pushing the boundaries to get your viewers back. Otherwise, I have a funny feeling that you're going to be overtaken very shortly and you will become WCW.
No, I totally disagree with you on that, Shane. Here's what's the problem. Vince does not know how to book. There is such a disconnect. And I discussed this with you, Jim. Yeah. There is such a disconnect between NXT and Raw, because NXT, and let me sort of segue into this. We have a card this week called TakeOver. What is the main event of TakeOver?
It would be Bayley defending her championship, her NXT Women's Championship, against Sasha Banks in a 30-minute Iron Woman match.
Right. Now,
have we seen anything of that quality in the Divas Revolution? Zero.
No.
Okay.
Nothing. Not in the Divas Revolution, but people have seen many advancements in women's wrestling in TNA. Hard as that is to say, but yes, it's true.
I'll grant you that, but you also have to consider there's only one time in the history of Raw that a Divas match main evented, and that was Trish Lita several years ago, a decade plus ago. So, you know, what works in NXT, and keep in mind, this is just going to be lightning in a bottle because Sasha's back on the main, is, you know, firmly in the main roster, firmly entrenched. And Bailey's going to be the flag bearer, if you will, for the women's division in NXT. She's not leaving there anytime soon, regrettably, I must say. But you also
have a very interesting point. Have you been noticing also that there have been a lot of interviews by Nikki Bella saying, "My boyfriend does no pull in the company whatsoever." You know what that is? That's bullshit, okay? That is absolute bullshit. Because if you have to go out and do, five to ten interviews already that she's done this? She's been asked,
is your man the reason you are what you are?
And she says, nope. There's an old saying, methinks they doth protest too much. Okay, because every time I hear, "You can look, but you can't touch," you hear the sounds of remotes clicking. Okay, Total Divas is right now losing its luster, in my personal opinion, and I think the Bellas are losing their luster.
Oh, I this is where I disagree with you, Jason. This past finale has actually brought up a very interesting thing that I would like see to come on the WWE TV, and more than likely with the rumors that we have heard about Mr. Cena taking time off, could be a factor into WWE television very shortly.
You don't think, do you?
Oh, well, hell yeah.
What are you hearing?
Oh, well, John Cena, it's not a rumor, it's actually fact. John Cena has been pulled from has removed himself from the European tour.
Right. Let me interject. I was going to get to that. Yeah, I thought when you meant rumors, you know the reason why. No.
I don't. Okay. I have my suspicions as to why.
Let's talk about this. Let's segue into that for a moment, and then we'll get back to the broader topic of how to get more butts in the seats or more eyeballs on the TV. Cena is not advertised for the post Hell in a Cell Raw. That's in San Diego. Not advertised for November 2nd Raw in Denver. Not booked for live events the weekend of Halloween. And as of yesterday morning, Thursday morning, he was advertised originally for the European tour from the 4th, that begins on the 4th, but not from the 16th and the 23rd, the Raws that'll be in Europe. Cena has been officially pulled from that 10-day European tour and is off live events through the month of December. According to multiple sources, there are no official reasons as to why, but let the speculation run wild. Why?
Look,
yeah.
They've said personal reasons.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now, that could mean anything from he's hurt and he's taking some time off, which, by the way, I don't begrudge him by any stretch of the imagination, because he's been the workhorse for the company for, 13 years now?
But he's especially stepped up in the last 8 to 10 months, no question.
Right. And again, being fair here, he is U.S. title run after he won it at WrestleMania has been one of the best things about wrestling this year in the WWE. Total fairness here. Yeah. However, the fact that he is not saying things makes it more interesting to me.
I mean, when you hear personal reasons, it could be anything from it's an injury, he wants time off, something personal with his family. Maybe he wants to start a family, nudge, nudge, nudge. It could be a lot of different things.
I know. The man's made it very clear what his views on parenthood are, which I find rather funny considering the fact, you know, he's so great with other people's kids, but he's afraid to have his own. Hmm. And nevertheless,
he's not a genetic jackhammer like me. Yeah.
But I don't know. If it is because he's injured, well, I wish him best of luck with a recovery. But if it's just to book an angle between him and Dolph Ziggler, then well, I'll wait and see how it plays out on TV.
I don't know that I'd want to see that.
Well, you might not want to see it, but a hardcore legend and WWE Hall of Famer says it's a money maker.
It could be, but the thing is that now, okay, so let's say post WWE Hell in a Cell, that Cena is off for 2 months. The WWE needs to push to 3 months now. I'm sorry, 3 months, right?
Yeah. Well, let's say 2 months.
No, I'm sorry. This is October, not September. I keep forgetting what
two
month
months.
It is
we'll
now.
Say 2 months.
Let's say he takes off Survivor Series and takes off TLC to come back fresh for the Rumble. Okay, the WWE needs to push people strongly, like Kevin Owens, Cesaro. Stop booking Seth Rollins like a pussy. I'm sorry. Even though this thing is interesting. You know, you need to push people that are more towards the wrestling and less towards the entertainment value.
Well, you just said the code word, that chance of that happening.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
And that's part of the problem. Going back to what we started with the original topic, that's part of the problem. Shane saying they should go back towards the Attitude Era a little bit, or
back
something.
when they were called wrestlers, not superstars.
That's
wrestlers.
Sports entertainers and all that happy stuff. That would be a wonderful thing, but the fact of the matter is, since they've gone PG, actually more like, yeah, well, PG I think is the fair way to call it.
Oh, screw it. Don't call it PG. Let's just call it what it is, the PC, since they've gone
PC. You know what? You're right. Okay. Since they've gone PC, as a publicly traded company, a PTC, see what it did there,
mm-hmm.
They can't afford to, you know, toe the line like they did in 97, 98, 99, and blur the line as much. That and plus, in this day and age, it wouldn't work, because we've seen it already, and we've seen it all. So they're in a quandary. We want to appeal to as many people as we possibly can. Yes, we'd like those people who missed the Attitude Era. We want those people to come back in. But the kids, they get the Mattel figures. They buy the Super Cena t-shirts.
And the Mattel deals.
I'm sorry, but okay, because I was a kid back in the Attitude Era, okay? I'm sorry, but seeing a man getting ritually sacrificed, seeing a priest get tombstone, seeing a man get set on fire, did not stop me from buying WWE friggin' action figures, okay?
But again, it was a less politically correct time in the late 90s and early 2000s. That's the thing.
And the Mattel deal will probably keep them from actually going that far anyway, because if they go too far, they would lose the Mattel deal, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
That's correct.
You go back a couple years ago with the whole thing with the
Tiegate.
Yeah, Tiegate. Justin Roberts, you will always be remembered for your pink tie that day. That's the problem. And Jason, like we've talked about before, and I said it to you, NXT and WWE, NXT and Raw/SmackDown, if you will, it's two different brainchilds. Triple H is behind NXT, and you see that, and you see he caters to the hardcore wrestling fans, shall we say. While WWE is a broad paintbrush stroke by Vince McMahon, who has been out of touch with reality for
Excuse me. Don't forget Stephanie. Don't forget Triple H. Don't forget Michael P.S. Hayes. You can't just say Vince, even though he gets the final say.
Until Vince isn't getting the final say, I have to say Vince primarily.
Okay.
That's the reason. And Kevin Dunn and so on and so forth. It's so many more hands in the cookie jar, and they're all trying to appease the Godfather, as it were. No, Pippin ain't easy. I'm talking in this case metaphorically about Vince McMahon. So, But the question becomes, what can they do and how can they do anything to solve the sagging ratings? Or is it just one of those things where it is what it is?
Well, going back to what Jason said for a second, with the whole NXT and WWE thing, we got to remember that that's two different men running two different ships here, because we know that Triple H is NXT is Triple H's baby. And Triple H is more in tune with today's audience, whereas Vince McMahon, he's still stuck in 1984. But it's just a thing of, like Jason said, we need to start pushing more talent. I think what they're doing with Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt at the moment is a great step forward for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pushing these two guys as the future stars of WWE is excellent.
Yep, that's a start. And Bray Wyatt should win, even though he won't, but that's beside the point. Okay.
Yes. But, okay. Go ahead, continue, Shane.
But even though we have seen everything, if you're an adult that lived through the Attitude Era and so on and so forth, If you've seen it all before, I still want WWE to bring some of that stuff back, even if they have to tweak it a little bit, just to make it entertaining. Like I said, the stuff with this John Cena, Dolph Ziggler thing, I find it intriguing. I would like to see where it happens. And you know it's going to happen with Paige bringing it up during this past Raw with, oh, your two boyfriends. It's like, well, yep, it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you want to know something? Let me tell you something about this, okay? Mm-hmm. And I am going to say this right now, and I'm going to steal your thunder, Jim, okay? The Divas Devolution is dead. D-E-A-D, dead, okay?
Did it really ever begin? Yes, you bring in new talent, Jason, but you book them like they've been there for 7 or 8 years. I'll say it. They book them like Alicia Fox.
Yes, exactly. And the answer is no. I mean, I know Nikki's going to, you know, when she hears this, she's going to be, you know, wherever, you know, on her flight back from New York to make sure that Brock Lesnar doesn't, you know, kill the Big Show that badly. In
she's
Madison
lounging
Square
near
Park.
The belly of the beast, as it were. Yes.
Yes, exactly. The fact is that while I respect I respect Charlotte immensely, I respect, you know, Becky Lynch, I respect Sasha, I respect Paige, but since they've been there, have they done anything memorable? No. And you want to know why? Because you have the tits that gravity forgot and the Bella twins in your way. Nikki Bella is the female John Cena, and I'm going to say it right there. She's got the diamond-studded shovel. Okay, I'm going to call it right there. I'm going to call a whore a whore. You're just a fucking stripper. Okay, if John Cena wasn't your fucking boyfriend, you'd be in the fucking mid card of TNA. You would still be a dancer. Sorry.
Well, whoa, hang on. So technically, if you stop and think about it, you're not calling Nikki Bella a female John Cena. You are actually calling Nikki Bella the female Triple H. Because you're saying if she wasn't with a person in power, that she wouldn't have gotten to where she is today.
Oh, that's true. Fine. I'll call her the female Triple H then. Yes, that's true. I will call that. You're right.
She's following pedigree to a degree. Yeah.
Yes, she is. She is following the Triple H playbook to the nth degree. Sleep your way to the top. I mean, but the only difference is that Triple H had talent. She does not.
Okay, well, I'm not going to... I'm sorry, I can't be around the whole let's instantly fucking bury Nikki Bella party. Because the fact is, she's come a long way since being a friggin' valet back in the day, and she actually has been improving in her wrestling. Like, I'm not going to sit here and shit on her and be like, oh, well, sorry, you're sucking John Cena's cock, so that's the only reason why you've been a Divas champion. I think she has deserved the Divas Championship once or twice. There were times where I've thought, okay, this is bullshit. I wouldn't go as far as to say that Nikki Bella's the reason why the Divas Revolution is dying. I mean, let's think about it this way. I mean, yeah, she's dating John Cena, whoop-de-doo. But the thing is, there's only one real person that you can blame for the death of the Divas Revolution, and that's one man that's probably, what, now in his 70s? And that man is Vincent Kennedy McMahon. That's the real reason Divas Revolution's dying, not Nikki Bella. She's come a long way since being a ring valet for Daniel Bryan and God knows who else. But yeah, her ring ability is far better than what she was at the beginning.
I'm gonna say column A and column B a little bit here. You're both right to a certain degree. Nikki has improved. I will give you between when she started with the Reign and when she ended. She's a better wrestler. She's better in the ring. Is she great? No.
Is she great?
Especially when you consider the talent she's going up against women who can actually wait for it. Wrestle.
Yeah.
But you got to give Cena credit. He's smart enough to know, okay, I'm not marrying you. So
oh, but that's like Triple H saying to Linda McMahon, no, I swear I'm not fucking your daughter. I swear to God. It's still happening.
Yeah, it's still happening.
It's just one of the damnedest things. You want to start a Divas Revolution, that's great. You want to bring in the talent from NXT, and let's be honest, raise your hand if you've seen on Raw or SmackDown, a match, a singles match, mind you, featuring Becky Lynch. Anybody?
No.
Am I in the back?
Nope.
No.
Am I in the back?
No.
And if it has happened, it's been under the radar because he's always in the tag team match. She's been buried.
Oh, I was going to say, wait. I thought she competed in that. I swear she competed in a Raw match, didn't she? Wasn't it all members of Team PCB going in?
I'm saying a singles match. I'm saying her one-on-one against another diva. That's what I'm saying.
Wasn't it all the members of Team PCB versus all the members of
But that defeats the whole purpose of what I'm just saying. A singles match, one-on-one, not three-on-three.
Yeah, she was part of the...
Beat the clock. That's what I'm saying.
Beat the clock. Well, that's not the kind of match I'm talking about. That's a.
And you know who's even got the worst part of the deal? Sasha Banks. Okay.
Oh my goodness. She's when the crowd. Let me sorry to jump on you, Jason. When the crowd is chanting your name, when two other divas who you actually don't mind seeing in the ring are wrestling, that says something. It absolutely says something. It speaks volumes. Sasha, by far and away, of the divas currently, of the quote-unquote divas revolution, is by far and away the most talented and is being the least utilized. You know, it's mind-numbing to me. Obviously, again, it goes back in large part to Vince having the final say on creative control. It is entirely possible that there are people in creative that we don't know. Who want to push Sasha to the moon. But Vince will be like, she doesn't have the right look. She's not getting there. Yeah. It's possible. It's very possible that could be what's happening. And it's just mind-numbing. Because, look, we all want the Divas division to succeed. Truth be told, we don't want it to succeed. We want it to be the women's wrestling division again, but that'll never happen. Fine. We want to see good female wrestling. We don't need to see, it's an ECW-style cat fight. Oh, we don't want to see the Bellas, you know, be on our TV every week and get X-Pac heat for the love of God.
We don't want to see Lana and Summer Rae. Okay.
Well, we were heading down that route until injuries.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay, oh. Summer Rae. Okay, yes, Summer Rae. Do not want to see, but Lana. Ching-ching.
Okay, not in the, you know, ear sense, but I'm talking about
the wrestling sense.
Okay, I'm not saying that Lana isn't smoking hot. She is. By the way, she's appearing with, I believe, what is it? Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and a couple of other wrestlers at the ringside event at Caroline's tomorrow. It's called Ringside Fest. They do this every year, the first week of October at Caroline's Comedy Club. You've heard of this. It's pretty, my phone number if you go there. I wish I could, but let me just see who is going to be there. I know it's Kevin Owens. I know it's Seth Rollins. I know it's Lana. This is actually the 11th year they're doing this, which is kind of cool. I'm just trying to find out who. And of course Mattel is involved with this because they also get to show new elite figures that are there, but we don't want to see some of it, but we don't want to see all of it.
Every week, on a perpetual basis.
Yes, as we've been seeing. That's how the woman got bloody injured. Like the woman's actually been getting into wrestling training and trying some stuff out. And good for her if she wants to do that and prolong her career.
I like Lana. I like her as a valet, and maybe she's only just meant to be a valet. Maybe she's meant to be a wrestler. For all we know, she could become a good wrestler. For all we know, she could be Eva Marie gone blonde.
Okay. Right. By the way, the people who are going to be at Ringside Fest, it's Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, Paige, and Lana. So, certain wrestlers are sold out, and of course there are different, you know, combinations for photographs, or you know, photos, autographs, etc., etc., etc. So, but yeah, that's the.
Let me segue back to the original topic at hand because there's something interesting. You may have heard this on the radio this morning or this afternoon in archives. Elvis Duran's morning show. Stephanie McMahon was a guest on there, hyping up the MSG show for Saturday night. She talked about saying that WWE listens to what the fans quote, like and don't like, when deciding storyline direction. That's kind of a dangerous. I know. But hear me out for once. Okay, thank you. Hear me out, legitimate question. Should WWE listen to their fans when it comes to making decisions on storylines? Chris Waters, we haven't heard from you in a little bit. I'll let you chime in first.
Yes, because really they're the people who are paying the money to go to the shows. You don't have the people to go to the shows, you get worse than AWA had at the very end of their thing.
With the pink room and fighting over a turkey, you know. Staggered Lee Marshall couldn't make that work. God love him. God's got him. Shane?
I honestly reckon certain fans, yes. Listen to some of your fans, do not listen to all of your fans, otherwise this is what we're going to have on WWE Raw from now on. We're going to have a guy coming out dressed as Darth Vader versus some retard dressed as Luke Skywalker. And we're going to have Darth Vader versus Luke Skywalker in a fucking ring. It's like, what the hell am I watching? It'll make RoboCop and WCW look good.
Yes, I know, that's what I'm saying.
That's what happens. WCW did that. WCW listened to the fans and look where it got them.
My God, look at RoboCop, those bars, Bob, look at that.
Oh, sorry, I retract one statement. I did not mean to say the R word. I was going to say that. And I will go even further than that.
The answer is no. Okay, and I'll explain to you what I mean. Because if you follow social media, and believe me, I do, and I see a lot of what wrestling fans say to wrestlers and all that stuff, it perpetuates the stereotype of the dumbass wrestling fan. I'm sorry, and I don't mean that.
To be more specific, it perpetuates Mark, who's very smart, lives in his parents' basement. Mom, my hot pockets are coming. Hold on, Mom, I'm not done. Wait for my hot pockets.
Good God. My God, you sound like Colin Cowherd.
Don't you ever effing say that again, Block.
No, but you understand what I mean, though.
No, I understand what you mean, and you're right, Jason, because I'll give you the great example. There's a guy named Roman Reigns. Push him! Push him after the Royal Rumble almost 2 years ago. Push his ass!
Push his ass!
Okay? They pushed his ass.
They pushed his ass.
Oh, but it's not the way we wanted him pushed. There's something not right. Don't push him down our throats.
Don't push him down our throats.
If you try to listen, you know, completely to the fan base, you set yourself up in a trap. Where you give them what they want, and how many times have we seen it already over the last couple of years with various storylines? You give them what they want. They're not happy.
And
they're
not happy. Right? Yeah. Because here's the excuse me. Rule number one, and Nikki has said this many times. There are certain people, and we have called them on it, the number threes that will never be happy about anything. Okay. Okay. So what Stephanie was saying is the company line. But what I think would bring the fans back is to quote unquote give them what they want to a degree. Okay.
You give them the carrot over them. You don't give them the whole carrot cake, as it were.
Right, exactly. And you know what the best example of that was? Okay, in recent memory, was Kevin Owens. Okay.
Yeah, and especially kind of parlaying into the network a little bit. That Japan NXT show. That Japan WWE show, I should say, with Lesnar in Japan, and the way they. Aired the show, produced the show, broadcast the show. That was giving the fans a carrot. Here's a little something that you guys will love, you hardcore folks who think wrestling is still wrestling and not sports entertainment. Leave us the hell alone.
Leave us the hell alone.
That's all.
That's all.
Now, let me ask you something, Chris. This MSG show coming up, is this more going to be an American? Is this going to be a more Americanized show? Or do you think they're just going to call it, you know, whoever is going to call it, be it Cole, be, you know, at the studio, or, you know, whoever calls it? How are they going to, how do you think they're going to call this?
I really think the way they've actually been using it on the main shows with the build with the Brock Lesnar story, as well as the fact that it's in America and it's close to Vince's WWE headquarters. Not, yeah, I know Connecticut compared to New York. But the fact is, I really think it's going to be more of a WWE show because I don't. One, there's no NXT presence. Two, there's a different crowd to compare to American and Japanese crowds, even with WWE fans considered into that. So I really think this is going to be more like a mini pay-per-view kind of thing, if for anything else.
Which is also another reason why the ratings are a little out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I guarantee you no commentator is going to mention TNA. Well, no, English commentator. I don't know if you guys, I don't know if we covered this last week, but I found this interesting. You know how, and look, we give Michael Cole a hard time, and sometimes rightfully so, but you have to understand he has to process so much information. He's got two other people, you know, to talk to. He's got Vince in his ear, or Triple H in his ear. He's got producers in his ear. He's a traffic cop, so you give the man the credit due to him as a broadcaster. The Spanish announce team isn't that produced. Let me tell you, Marcelo Rodriguez, who does color for WWE, actually referenced Sting's TNA run on commentary back at WrestleMania 31 when he returned. According to a couple of sources, the German, French, and Spanish announced teams get more freedom because Vince isn't talking to them on a headset because, well,
what the heck are those languages? This is America! Yeah.
But I couldn't resist. But I found that interesting. I think to the original question you posed, Jason, to Chris, it's going to sound like a WWE show. Maybe they'll throw a couple of bones on commentary, a couple of lines when it comes to something the hardcore fan, the old school wrestling fan will appreciate. Maybe they'll call a few more moves than they normally would. But considering the build for this, and there's been tremendous build for this, I laugh because I'm thinking they're building Big Show up, and all for what? For Brock Lesnar to knock him down in two minutes. You know,
I don't think it'll be two. It'll be five.
It'll be five. And people will enjoy it. Brock Lesnar is money. He will sell no matter what. I'm intrigued to see how this goes down tomorrow night. Saturday night, since we're recording on a Friday night. I apologize.
Now, do you have the card that I gave you, right?
I do have the full card. We will be getting appearances by Mark Henry, Stardust, more on Stardust in a moment, actually. The Bellas, so I know Jason will be tuned in. We'll also see Rusev with Summer Rae versus Dolph Ziggler.
How updated is that thing?
Jason, when did you last get it?
I got it a little while ago. I actually looked at it today. Put it to you this way. Rusev Ziggler is current, as far as I know, because, you know, the storyline is still
working. Well, the reason I ask is because in a recent match, Rusev looked like he was injured, and he shouted something when he landed wrong on his wrist. I forget if it was a smack this last week's SmackDown or this past Raw, though.
Well, you never know, but again... Card subject to change.
Also, we've got for the 5,475th time this month, Sheamus versus Randy Orton. We have for the IC belt, Kevin Owens going up against Jericho.
Yes.
Dudley Boys are going to tear down the MSG as they make their first appearance in the world's most famous arena since WrestleMania 20, and they go against the tag team champions, the titular figures of our show this week, The New Day.
And we'll see if the Dudleys do better than they did at WrestleMania 20, which I was there for. Yay. So was I.
But I will say this. The Dudleys could win it there. But I don't know if it's the right time yet.
US champion John Cena takes on World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins inside a solid steel cage. And then, of course, Bork. Brock Lesnar will beat the ever-loving stuffing out of the Big Show. Brock's first appearance at MSG since WrestleMania 20 as well. It looks on paper like it's going to be a fun card. Do they pull the trigger, though? And you alluded to it, Jason. I'll ask you again. Do they pull the trigger and change titles at this card?
Yeah, I think because you've got to remember, you have to make these shows interesting. And like, oh my God, you have to subscribe to the network. So one title is going to change, and I think it will be the Dudleys over New Day. That doesn't mean the New Day doesn't get it back to Monday night on Raw, but at least the Dudleys win the titles at MSG. That, I think, is the one title that could change.
Chris, do you agree?
I agree, and I also wanted to throw a little thing out there for you people, for you guys to think about. With all the build-up with the Big Show, Brock Lesnar, Big Show trying to prove himself to be a monster that can easily take out, take Brock Lesnar to his limits and such, and with a recent interview that he did off out of character, where he was talking about he wanted to become a more part-time employee, do you think this match with Lesnar could be the end of the full-time, always-on-the-shows Big Show?
Could be. It could be, and they did an interview on WWE.com and on YouTube with the Big Show about how the internet, and I was tempted to go that route for the open this week, how the internet is like sick of Big Show, which can't fault them to a certain degree. Well, it's not that I'm sick of Big Show, honestly. I'm just sick of the revolving door booking around Big Show. He's facing
turn, you know.
The birds are rolling in their graves. Are they dead? I'm not sure. It's the 70s. They were probably on some hallucinogenics. They probably are. If they're not, I apologize. Shane, you're saying it in the chat while we're talking about you feel bad for Paul White. Go ahead and tell us why.
I feel bad for the guy. Like, he's given so much to the business and to come into majority of arenas and get, like, pretty much booed out of the building and chant of please retire out of the building. Like, I just feel so sorry for him because he, I honestly, this is no disrespect to Andre the Giant, but I honestly believe that Big Show has made himself the greatest giant in wrestling history.
You can make
don't disagree. Don't disagree on that.
Big Show had the surgery to prolong his life and his career. He is able to do more and try more than Andre could, because physically he's been more often than not in better shape. And I'll tell you this, the reason Paul White is being, you know, booed, it all comes full circle back to Vince wanting, Vince being afraid to push new talent. That's the way I'm going to put it. And the reason I'm going to put it is this. Again, they tried to push Roman Reigns after people were wowed by his amazing performance 2 years ago at the Rumble. Let's go back to old reliable. Let's stick a belt on John Cena. Let's let Paul White, let's let the Big Show in some matches. Everybody loves Randy Orton, Sheamus. Let's have them in a match every other week. Therein lies the problem. You want to give... Yeah, good, Shane. Yeah,
sorry, sorry to jump on you, but I was going to say, I think where the problem really started for Big Show was that stupid storyline with him and the Authority, where he got made to cry on live air and just be Triple H's bitch for the majority of the storyline. I was like, yeah, that sort of killed Big Show's buzz for me, because I've always known him as the big nasty bastard.
And now he's just the big waterworks.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, now he's just known as, instead of Mr. WrestleMania, it's Mr. Revolving Door.
Exactly. And that revolving door, I don't know how he can fit in a revolving door, to be honest.
The other term that we use for him on the fan boards is local man, because when he appears on the show, he ruins everything, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. Fair enough. So, yeah, the MSG card on Saturday looks interesting. I'll be watching it because, well, I plunked my $9.99 maggle for it, so that's encouraging.
I am watching because, A, I have to, and B, I want to. I'm very intrigued.
Okay, Poppy, CC, you're very intrigued.
CC, I'm very intrigued, okay? Okay. Yeah, I am.
Hold up your
seat.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I'm very interested in how they get to where they get to, and if they're going to push, if they're going to use this as storylines for Hell in a Cell, which comes out 3 weeks later.
We will see. Oh, I mentioned Stardust in passing a little while ago. I'm going to play a little game of Is This Anything? Okay. Let's talk corporate. My God, the corporate. As you know, most every name in WWE is trademarked. Certain trademarks have been abandoned. Now, first of all, let me tell you about one that they just applied for the company. Kana in NXT. The general trademark for the name Asuka is being used. They also filed a Seth Rollins trademark for merchandise use.
Real quick pronunciation fix. On the NXT shows, they've been pronouncing it Asuka.
Asuka. Okay. Yeah. Well, I haven't watched enough NXT. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was surprised by it too. But
yeah, I would think it'd be Asuka, but no. Asuka.
Yeah, apparently the U was like a very silent, quick one. Asuka.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Now, there are also trademarks, according to this post from WrestleChat, that have been abandoned. Some make perfect sense. Some make you say, huh? Under the category of abandoned, failure to respond to late response, Eve Torres. Okay, she's no longer with her. By the way, congratulations, Eve, on the baby. She's had the baby. Good for her.
Mills.
She's. Thank you. I was gonna say she's actually a.
Hey now, but yes.
I'd let her play with my Rubik's cube, folks. Naomi. Just bring it. Stardust. And Lunatic Fringe. Those are now abandoned. Failure to respond to late response. Then recently abandoned the following trademarks with the reason, quote, continued use, not filed within grace period, unrevivable. Again, some will make sense, some can't. Crime time. WWEHD, either spaced or as five letters together. Candice Michelle. Makes sense. Hornswoggle. Interesting. And WWE Shop.
Hmm.
I ask you, Jason Block, our legal eagle, is this anything?
No, it's not. The only one that really sort of intrigues me a little bit is the Stardust trademark. Because you know as well as I do that if they see this, somebody will say, you know what, let's revive it. Because, hey, you know, unless, and we say unless, Cody may be done with the Stardust gimmick, but I don't see that necessarily happening.
Well,
May I quote something
about that?
Sure.
On SmackDown, they had another of the a rematch of the Neville and Lucha Dragons versus Stardust and Ascension match. After the match, Stardust seemed to be a little confused and distraught. Now, that may not seem like anything really big, but a few weeks ago, they were also reporting that at this takeover this Wednesday, Cody will be appearing out of character along with Dustin, aka Goldust, to present the winners of the tournament, the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, with the trophy. So, I don't know, maybe they're dropping it right now because of the Dusty Classic and they might be doing something with that, but that's just a possible theory for me, and I've been wrong in the past. I might be wrong about this, but I just wanted to bring that up.
And that segues very nicely. Let me give you the card. First semifinal of the tournament, Finn Balor and Samoa Joe teaming up against the Mechanics, Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder in tournament action. Then you've got Jason Jordan and Chad Gable teaming up against Baron Corbin and Rhino. Then, of course, the winners of those two matches will face off with each other. Also in action, Apollo Crews, don't call him Terry, versus Tyler, let me take a selfie, Breeze in a singles match. Asuka. Thank you. Versus Dana Brooke in a singles match, and as we mentioned, capping it all off, the definitive main event, Bayley versus Sasha Banks, 30-minute Iron Woman match for the NXT Women's Championship. That's Women's Chimmel, Women's.
Yep. And again, that's a card I'll watch too. Because
well, that's not the only NXT TakeOver card you hope to watch, Jason, because segue.
Ah, yes. Oh, yes.
See, that's the radio background. That's the radio background. And why nobody will hire me, and they'll hire, you know, hams like Elvis Duran. In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
In August. In August. The next two summers. TakeOver. SummerFest Slam, SummerSlam, and the Raw After SummerFest Slam. So it's been inked, all three shows, 2016, 2017 at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Jason, it's a no-brainer considering, especially, and I think the TakeOver actually may be a bigger part of it than SummerSlam, quite frankly, when you get right down to it, considering how quick it sold out.
Well, here is what, yes, it's a no-brainer, and you know, kudos, all joking aside, and again, my bias, but kudos to the WWE and Barclays for getting the deal done and for booking it 2 years in advance, okay? And for getting all the three cards there, okay? I'm also thinking now that they've announced the date, I actually think NXT TakeOver is going to sell out even quicker.
Oh yeah!
This year, because now you know that it's going to be there, and it's guaranteed to be there. And you had, and we used this in the game show world, proof of concept with a 15,000 seat sellout of NXT. Holy crap! Really?
Okay. There is a market there, folks. There is a market.
There's a market there, number one. Number two, seriously, though, all joking aside, you're bringing in, you know, millions of dollars to the New York area for the entire week of SummerSlam for 2016 and 17. It's a no-brainer. It was a, you know, very small. They were waiting to see what happens. And by the way, if the Izod Center never sold, is never closed, this deal would have never happened. I'm not. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Seriously.
Absolutely. Because who wants to go to a dump next to, you know, the Jersey Turnpike that nobody except you would be in for that year?
for that year. Oh, I'm
right,
sorry.
Exactly.
You and Montclair exactly. State or whatever, Seton Hall, whatever, you know, whatever, you know, university
right.
uses it for their graduation. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But yeah, you're right. So, Izod Center and Meadowlands, thank you. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Well, yes, yeah, well, the, yes, the Barclays Center says, thank you for the millions of dollars that comes our way. You know,
millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars, yes.
You and I are going to meet up someday and we're going to do the dance together and we're going to put it on YouTube. It'll get five hits.
It'll get five hits. Five hits, yes.
Exactly. Maybe no, six.
Beneficent. But seriously, though, you know we're going to get the F Brooklyn chants from the NXT crowd, right, Chris?
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I might be there for both an NXT in Florida, and then I'll go up and stay with my sister a little bit, take the train up to New York, and go to the Barclays Center.
Save your money now. Oh, and by the way, speaking of NXT, they had their first All Access Performance Center this week, this past Monday, where people paid $1,500, if you remember correctly. This is the thing that Nikki wanted to go to, but for some reason, you know, they sold out. This is I hope they do it again because I saw some of the pictures on the I believe it was either the Instagram feed or the Twitter feed. It looked pretty good. Looked pretty fun. Yeah. Oh, speaking of NXT for a moment. There's a certain. Oh, well, first of all, you know, NXT is running in this place called Nashville, Tennessee.
Which segues very nicely, actually, sort of kind of to our obligatory TNA portion of the show. Doesn't it?
Sort of.
Yes.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Because what happened was, multiple sources are reporting that James Storm is in the front row of NXT Nashville right now. As we speak tonight. Just saying.
Oopsie.
Okay. But some guy named Finn Balor decided to post a picture of him doing the crotch chop in front of TNA Wrestling headquarters. Two words, Shane. Scott shots fired.
And at this
hell yeah. Who? I mean, I didn't think we'd have another wrestling war, but it looks like it's been done. And you know what the funny part is? That a TNA star actually replied to this, and a TNA superstar, Grado, took a photo of himself next to a WWE employees only sign going.
But can you really call it a war? It's at best a skirmish.
Well, let's ask somebody in the field. Miss Carter, what do you think?
Sugar, we're going to promote this like it's a war like nobody's business. Yeehaw!
Please.
Sugar, that's if you don't get your stupid ass fired for putting out a fucking send all email.
You little smug shit.
Tell us. You have that from an announcing thing, don't you, Jim? About that.
Oh, about not pushing send.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on a second. I gotta find this. Which one was it? I forget.
This was the hold on. It was the Dixie Carter Destination America that it was actually proven that she did send the email or something to that.
Oh, that. Well, I'll let you take the reins of that because I only.
Here it is. This is from. multiple sources are reporting this. I am getting this from Wrestling Inc., but I know that WrestleChat, I believe, has reported about this. And this is from The Observer, okay? This is from The Observer, okay? They noted back in May that there was unconfirmed rumors going around that Dixie Carter accidentally copied a Destination America executive on an email where she was complaining about the network. At the time, sources weren't outright denying it, but they weren't confirming it either, just like the Vatican. Just saying. This email incident really did happen, according to the Wrestling Observer. It turns out that Dixie sent an email to several unintended recipients. Whomever she was sending it to, the email was mostly Dixie complaining about how Discovery doesn't send out information about the plus three ratings, since Impact usually does 15 to 20% more viewers when DVR viewership over the following 3 days after it actors is factored in. She also reportedly called Discovery president Mark Graboff some negative names in the email and took a shot as an intelligence in some way. Besides the intended recipients, Dixie also sent the email to Destination America group president Harvey Schleif and several other Discovery executives. Schleif responded to Dixie and said he was sorry that she felt that way about Graboff. Graboff was always copied in the emails, apparently by Schleif, so he could see what the hell was going on, and it did not go over very well. Now, supposedly, now, Shane, you can confirm this or not, they're off Destination America as of like February, is that right? Something like that?
Yeah, that's the word going around. And for some odd reason, I don't see Dixie Carter getting re-signed.
For all the time we took talking and trashing Nikki Bella, it could be worse. You could have somebody worse than Nikki Bella running your wrestling company.
That's right.
I got money, but I got tits, but I got no brains, honey.
Sugar, but here, she's the Delta Burke of the wrestling. And by the way, as you said, if you have a pay per view that's happening this weekend, and no one knows about it, since your shows were taped in July, does anyone care?
Does that make the post Shaq Taylor?
Oh, God. No, he's referring to Dixie Carter's biggest, and these are her words, the biggest pay-per-view of the year, Bound for Glory.
Crossed again. Bound for Glory. I understand why they're doing what they're doing. I do. But it's just, okay, now we're going to ask everybody to withhold everything. Don't tweet out any results. In fact, maybe they confiscated cell phones for all we know. Wait, do they have people who can actually be paid to do that? I'm not sure. Thinking about what that company has become, and look, people are going to listen to this podcast and say, well, you guys never gave them a real chance. Yeah, we did several years ago when the company actually had decent booking, was on a network most people could see, and actually had decent young talent and was somewhat financially more stable.
That yeah, like, has the ratings were good.
I'll speak for myself here.
For those that say I bash TNA constantly, that's because I was watching it back when it was NWA TNA. It was actually pretty good.
I was watching it back when
the three ring generals of TNA, Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, and AJ Styles were still there. And they were running riot over the place. They made me want to watch it even more and more. This was back before Abyss had a Joseph Park episode.
I'm not sure who more people are fleeing from, the Chicago Bears or TNA right now. I really don't know. Both are having fire sales.
Yeah, exactly. But I've stopped watching TNA due to the fact that they've just gotten sloppy with what they're doing. They don't even try to cover anything up, and they can't because they tape so far in advance that talent's essentially all independent, they could land on Raw at the same time.
We've seen that happen.
An incident like that kind of happened this week, actually, too.
Oh?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
On Wednesday on NXT, and then later on TNA, we had Tommaso Ciampa, whatever you pronounce it, actually appear on both shows.
Oh, wow.
It was Rick Rude all over again, but not as prolific.
Lex Luger, what is he doing here? No. But it's They I feel bad for the talent. I've said that I don't know how many times who work with Impact Wrestling. The quality talent, let me rephrase that a little bit. Because everybody else seemingly is just going through the motions. That's the vibe I get. They're just going through the motions. And no matter how many air trombones Josh Matthews will tout on Twitter about, oh, we're really changing the game, you're lucky you have a job that pays, buddy. Because you're not going to after February, it appears. It's, oh my gosh.
I mean, we keep saying, oh, this is the death of TNA. Oh, this is the death of TNA.
No, this is the death of TNA.
I think.
Well,
I don't know.
Jared's going to buy him and make him his company, and he'll get the TV. That's possible.
No, but the thing, that's possible. But the thing is that TNA, at this moment, you know, they've got, you know, a lot of international deals, okay, in place, which may save them financially. I mean, there's rumors that they're going to tape in India. I don't know.
Oh, for the love of... So you don't think they would go after some 7 foot tall dude who used to hang with Natalya, do you?
I think he's still in good graces as an ambassador to WWE.
Yeah,
so
he is. And here's another thing. I'm pretty sure if they do travel over to India or Japan, I'm pretty sure we're going to get another. Scott Steiner won't shut the tweet up.
Oh, that'll never get old. Never get old. Guess what? Speaking of shutting things and putting a nice factory seal on them, limited edition, be dialing people. It's actually good to be Hulk Hogan. Kinda. Sorta. Never really is, but he's got something going his way. You remember the Gawker case, right? Oh, how we'd like to forget it. Well, according to a recent report, and we're getting this from the NBC affiliate in Tampa, WFLA Channel 8. Looks like the pressing details of the Gawker lawsuit and the sex tape, they're going to remain private. According to his claims, the release of a sex tape and an audio transcript from the tape that have ruined his career, let's see here. He claims that. He claims that, and of course he's suing Gawker. By the way, Hulk, listen. This is Jim Williams talk. Used to be a Hulkamaniac. I won the poster at No Holds Barred in 89. Okay, listen to me. When you're going to appear before court, don't wear the effing bandana!
He got special permission to wear it!
I don't care! He got don't! Brother! Brother! You know what? You know, Terry Bollea has been dead for years. Hulk Hogan will live forever.
Speaking as a bald person, he just didn't want to blind the rest of the...
Bald is a beautiful thing, though. Okay, there's nothing wrong with being bald, okay? What's wrong?
He didn't want to blind anybody. I know as a bald
person. He's tan!
He's orange. It shines a little.
The image, brother. It looks like the documents are going to stay unsealed in the case. At least that's what attorneys are. Well, attorneys are seeking to have the documents unsealed. It appears as though the judge is going to rule in Hogan's favor, keeping much of the court file sealed. There's a trial going on before a jury next year, so we won't have to see the video, brother.
We don't need that video hitting us like a wrecking ball. Oh, wait.
Oh, jeez, no. Stop the pain.
Speaking of stop the pain, we have to give Michael Cole a shout-out because I have a feeling Nikki has found at least six reasons why we should like Michael Cole, or she would like Michael Cole. Dude is jacked. He's shredded.
Yeah.
He's dropped about 70 pounds, and he's got like 8% body fat, or 4% body fat, or something like that. He's got muscle, so if he actually put on the orange singlet one more time, first of all, he's going to need a smaller singlet, and number two, he actually could look like a legitimate wrestler type, sort of kind. It's good for Cole.
WrestleMania 32. The Undertaker versus Michael Cole. Undertaker tries to end a streak.
Oh, you son of a bitch! I'd pay $9.99 for that, Maggle. No, hang on. Chris Waters stole my shit. Okay. I came up with that first in the NAWC in the friggin' group, and you mother. Bad news in your future, Chris. Very bad news coming his way.
By the way, do you guys smell what the Rock is driving?
An Elio motor?
It doesn't matter what the Rock actually does, it actually does matter because
he signed a deal with the Ford Motor Company.
He's going to be a part of the specialist technicians led by Dwayne. So he's going to be doing some. The ads are going to start not this Monday, but the following Monday. It'll be on radio, digital, social, television, the whole kin caboodle. So Dwayne Johnson's going to be a badass, hanging with a bunch of dorks and geeks who do auto tech and like spin tires and such. So good for him.
But you want to know something? All joking aside, not that he needs any more money, but seriously, I think he's actually doing it as a loyalty to Ford because he's always owned Ford cars, allegedly.
Just three Ford vehicles. His favorite being the People's F-150.
Yep.
He likes the Ford brand. So it makes sense. It's corporate synergy. By the way, I'd like to announce my endorsement deal with Pizza the Hut.
And Wingstop.
That's the problem. You know what? Screw them. B-dubs. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports. More sports and trivia. So there you go. I think that puts the bow on this, give or take.
Not quite. I have one news item that was possibly missed by us because of everything else.
All right, guys, go for it.
This was reported on the 30th of September. According to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, National Wrestling Alliance President Bruce Tharp recently met with Spike TV officials in New York City. Spike officials have stated that there is interest in bringing back pro wrestling, but that nothing on the table is right now. This is what they told Tharp at the meeting. Spike also noted that they are trying to run new shows that have more appeal to women than pro wrestling. Tharp is currently looking at other options for television. So,
Spike trying to attract women? What's that? I thought it was a channel for men.
But the
NWA. They've been dead since WCW got rid of. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah, that is kind of getting news with a Z. I mean, look, more wrestling on TV is good for everybody. Okay.
Let's play a hypothetical. Let's say they do get a deal with Spike. Do they get the numbers impacted in their prime? No. Probably not. I would think
because not many people know what NWA is.
If you go down the street and you ask 10 random people what NWA is, a couple of them are going to say, "What the heck are you talking about?" And the others are going to just go natural born killers.
Isn't that group from that Straight Outta Compton movie? Yeah, I mean, seriously. You're right.
Exactly. Don't call it a comeback. Jason's been here for years. Trust me, he's aged not too well.
Very funny.
I can see him writing, "Dear Jim, don't get old, you asshole." Boom.
No. Getting old is great. The alternative sucks worse. Trust me.
This is true. This is very true. Now I think we put a bow on things. So, time to chill. And before we get to any of y'all or me. Oh, Carl. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Bite me.
Sorry, you're not my type. But Carl, you want to shill for us a little bit. Your name's Kurt Schilling.
Oh, kiss my ass.
Well played. Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, the other night you and I recorded the BS Big Show with about 80,000 other people.
80,000?
Although we did have the debut of a brand new member. Tell us about her.
Yes, we did. Jessica Brand joined us for the first time, and she made everybody's mind blow with the next level, next gen stats. Very cool.
Now, I tell you what, she made us all look stupid.
Doesn't take much, though.
Yes, and that's a good thing. She was like, I did so bad. I'm like, no, great. My goodness.
She made us in our minds. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, yes, the BS Big Show, we went back over week three, had some football picks and some interesting blowouts and some of that other stuff.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Chief. Carl.
Sure thing, buddy.
I go first to go first Shane, to Bad News Beeman. Anything you'd like to plug, promote, shout out, shill?
No, I've got nothing to promote.
Are you sure?
I'm... Oh,
you don't want to talk about your favorite Aussie football team or something? You know, grand final.
No, because I don't support either of those teams. My Sydney Swans aren't in there, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, they're in the playoffs now? I didn't know.
It's AFL Grand Final, and then we have the NRL Grand Final this Sunday, and neither of my teams are in either of those.
So F it. I got you. By the way, if you've never seen coverage of the Grand Final, it is effing theater. You think the Super Bowl is choreographed? AFL Grand Final is the most choreographed championship thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, bands aplenty, all sorts of crazy things on the field, and that's before they actually take the field and play the game. Just saying. I enjoy it. I mean it in a positive sense, by the way. Chris, anything you'd like to promote, chill, shout out, such?
Yes, actually, there is a little show that Nikki Heyman and I like to do and bring some people along for the ride. It's called Paper Review. It is on tindeck.com/users/CMWaters, and we're still trying to work on getting it on CLW83. Hint, hint. As of the most recent one we did, and you might have plugged this last week, I don't know, I wasn't here, was the Halloween Havoc 1989, and we learned that some people don't know what the hell an electrified steel cage is supposed to act like. Right, Jim?
No. My God.
Okay, go on.
it's just funny. It's supposed to be an electrified steel cage. Oh wait, maybe it's just the top of the cage is electrified. No, they're going up to the top. Screw it.
The only electrifying thing that happened was some of the decor got on fire.
Yes.
My heavens.
Then again, with Ric Flair and Terry Funk in the match, they were probably too drunk to sell that properly anyway. But anyway.
Woo!
All right, but yes, it's pay-per-view. We take a look back at the shows of the past that are on the WWE Network for however much it is for you, either free or $9.99, depending on when you get it. And we give our little thoughts. I teach Nikki some stuff. She learns how hairy Zeb Coulter was before he was Zeb Coulter, which is a scary thing, by the way. Don't ever look it up if you don't want to. When we just have a little fun, shoot the breeze, laugh at some of the stuff, and have our minds bent by crappy stipulation matches just like that last one.
So,
and so paper review, like again, it's tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. I should have everything caught up to date by Sunday night. And Sunday night, we might be recording another one with Mr. Brian Henniger of Clash of the Champions 9, which will be the Ric Flair Terry Funk I Quit match, which should be a fun little thing. And that's all I really got to plug, really, right now.
Jason, I'll bring you in here because we've got some soap to chill out a little bit.
Oh, by the way, you were talking about Clash of the Champions 9? Access TV has the New Japan
Pro Wrestling.
The New Japan Pro Wrestling. On the New Japan streaming, when they stream the King of Pro Wrestling event, I believe a week from Monday, Kevin Kelly and your boy Matt Stryker are going to be the announcers, and they're going to be on location in Japan. And
they couldn't afford to get Jim Ross, I guess.
No, but I will say this, though. Access TV is showing the entire Wrestle Kingdom 9 pay-per-view this coming October, this month, over the scope of the entire month of October, which I think is very cool.
I'm assuming they're redubbing the commentary with Mauro Ranallo on there. But,
Could, yeah, probably.
By the way, may be the best wrestling announcer today, as I've mentioned before. He's great. He can do no wrong, whether it's MMA, boxing, or wrestling. I love him. Great guy. And a mental health advocate, so I'm all for that.
Now, also, we are in full playoff mode for Touch 'Em All.
In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to do an extra bases podcast early this week once we know who is playing in the wild card game, which it's becoming a little bit more clear right now.
Well, I mean, the National League is pretty much set. The first round will be the Mets and the Dodgers versus in one division series versus the Cardinals and the
NL Central wild card play-in, for lack of better terms, between Pittsburgh and Chicago in Pittsburgh.
Yes, exactly. So. And there is a funny story, I don't know if you heard about this, that there is a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe to try and get Steve Bartman to go to Philadelphia, to go to Pittsburgh. And if they can't find him, the money will go to, I believe, what is it? I think it's Alzheimer's Research or something to that effect. Some charity. But they're trying to get Bartman to the game. And I'm like, I don't think Bartman wants to go to a Chicago Cubs playoff game.
You couldn't pay him $1 million to go to a Cubs game.
No, not after.
And what happens if they lose? Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying Pittsburgh fans are doing this or Chicago fans?
A Chicago fan wants to send them there.
Wow, that's masochistic.
Yeah, exactly.
I know what they're trying to do, but that's masochistic. Bro.
And in the American League, it's very interesting. The two divisions have clinched, which is the Toronto Blue Jays and the American
League. I had to say that.
The American League Central is the Royals. The Yankees have clinched one of the wild card spots. But the American League West is still up for grabs as we speak.
And the big series going on, the Angels and Rangers throughout the weekend. If the Rangers win two more games, they've got the division, and they'll by default also knock LA out of the wild card contention. It's a three-horse race right now for the wild card between the Twins, the Houston Astros, who are on top right now, and the Angels, who are right below the Astros.
Right, exactly. And as we speak right now, it's 1-1, bottom of the seventh between LA and Texas, as we record this now. Brian Henniger and myself will do another episode of Pixel Nation, of course, continuing all the video game bits, bytes, and we'll compare Amiibo collections. Yeah, because a lot of people have been upgrading it. I have been playing. Yes, hi Carl. I have been. Yes, hi Chris. I have been. 20. That's crazy.
Stop the pain.
Well, there's also there's a new craze right now that's just started, the Lego Dimensions.
Oh yeah.
Which is as nuts too.
Let's just say I used to be like you guys into hardcore into video gaming, and then I realized it's expensive as hell.
Yes, it is. Oh, and of course we're going to talk about the dumpster fire known as Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. Oh my goodness.
That bad, huh?
Well, put it this way. The original game download was like 4 gig. The patch to fix it is 7 gig, double the original game, and the game still isn't fixed. As we speak.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I love that game back in the day. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but not now. We'll talk more about that. We did another episode of WLTI Live. By the way, if you're not watching Jeopardy, this kid named Matt Jackson, he's good. He's really good.
Willing to say he might fulfill my prediction that he may go double digits?
He may go double digits because he's had a very dominant week, although his betting in Final Jeopardy has been a little bold to me. But I will say this. Spoiler alert, he has survived the week. Jeopardy now has something very cool on their website. Their website, by the way, is spectacular now. If you haven't gone to Jeopardy.com, they have what is known as a Tournament of Champions track. Where who might get in, should get in, that sort of thing. Okay. as opposed to wins, as opposed to, you know, monies, that sort of stuff. Really, 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 really good, really good stuff there. We'll talk about next week. Price is Right had a special show about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. By the way, also regarding wrestling, I believe WWE has partnered with the Susan G. Komen Foundation for the third year in a row.
They're going pink, absolutely.
They are going pink, and they've got a new line of shirts. I believe it says Rise Against Cancer, and we'll see a lot of those probably Monday night and or Saturday on the WWE Network shows. Again, nothing going on in red state, blue state. Here's the interesting thing, though. We had another tragic, shooting at an Oregon community college, and we had the usual political suspects. But President Obama had no fucks to give, really, at this point in time, because he don't care. He's like, I'm saying what I'm saying. I got a year left. Screw it. Screw you guys. I'm saying it, you know?
But then he actually says, what should have been said some time ago. So,
and
this is funny that Australians talking about an American politics situation here. I heard the same audio over here in Australia. I don't think it was that he didn't give two fucks about what was happening. I think it was more the fact of, like, he was saying, it's becoming routine now. We have to get the guns controlled. And, it's really, and sadly it is for you Americans. It's becoming routine for you guys. Like, there's a shooting in a school or something, like, every 3 or so months.
Yeah, about, we'll talk about more about that. And we'll talk about how everybody right now who loved the Pope a week ago think the Pope is the worst human being in the universe because he met with Kim Davis. Seriously.
I understand why you say that. My response is, he loves comedy just as much as the next person.
Uh-huh. Or maybe he's actually, love the sinner, not the sin, necessarily, if you really, that sort of thing. We'll talk more about that. All that stuff. And of course, you can listen to every one of those programs on CLW83.com, TuneIn Radio, Player.fm, Overcast, and Stitcher Radio. All those places you can hear all the wonderful programming here on CLW83. So, and I think, Jim, do you have anything else? Oh, may I make a quick personal plug, if I may?
Sure.
I am a very, very, very proud brother. My sister, who is here in the local area, my sister Elizabeth, just opened her first play as a director in local community theater here. She directed a play called Be That Guy, A Cat and Two Men. It's running this weekend, next weekend, and the weekend after that here locally in the Brooklyn area. I've put the link on my page. I'm not necessarily asking to promote it. I'm just saying I am extremely, extremely proud of her and her accomplishments on that. So, yay to Liz.
Congratulations.
So, there you go. Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the roof for not leaking during this show.
Yay. Yay. Yay for that.
That's a positive. I think that's another sign. Jim, get back on the house hunt because winter's coming. I'd also like to thank, give a shout out to my main man, Larry Cosgrove, who, okay. I don't think you get this, Shane, because I don't think Australian weathercasters are this nutso. But here in America, everything is hyped way, way, way too much for the almighty ratings point and dollar. Larry Cosgrove used to be in the field of broadcast meteorology. Now he does it for clients at a corporate level. And he's not afraid to give you a personal forecast if you message him. Larry's been in the business over 40 years. Great guy. Facebook.com/Larry.Cosgrove. He was all over Joaquin. He was on this days before the Weather Channel types and the local types here in Philadelphia were on it. So Cosgrove's the man, and he's a Philly guy too, so double points, as it were. So
one other thing I do want to necessarily plug, which I did not read because I'm actually not looking at the phone, regarding game shows and stuff. Buzzer. BuzzerPlay.com, that's BuzzerPlay.com, is no longer a holder site. There actually is something pretty cool on there right now. You can actually see schedule. There's some featured stuff. There's some vintage things and the whole nine yards. It's pretty cool. So take a look there.
You can also find through that website the Internet Waning Award winner, Game Show Garbage, Buzzer Password.
Oh, God. Yeah, well.
All right. Well, we've given it the Williams treatment this week. Looks like it's still in shape. Like, okay, still in shape. We'll see what happens next week. Hopefully, Nikki rejoins us next week. Hopefully, after her uncle's client, Brock Lesnar, tears the big show from limb to limb and pillar to post. I think the only way to end this show is to bookend things properly. So on behalf of Chris Waters, Jason Block, Shane Bad News Beeman, Carl Schneer in the booth, yours truly, Jim Williams, thanking you for listening. We leave you now with some sage words from Big E, or should I call him Creepy? So long, everybody.
Hey, you can tune in and see us next time. Same new day time. Same new day YouTube channel. Creepy, don't close it out.
Creepy, that's me. Yeah. I'm gonna close it out. Cause I can always be your uncle. Yeah. And I will always be your daddy. Just remember to always.
Sing it.
You
good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Sing it.
Keep it tight.
That's my line.
Yeah. No, it's a throwback because I'm plugging the channel.
But if you say my thing
right.
on the channel.
But I was going to say up, then I'm going to say up, down, now.
But if, don't
say it here.
I don't want to say my catchphrase on the channel.
But
on
I'm trying to get,
channels,
so don't.
Only only say it on my.
So don't say it here.
We can talk about my
cross
channel.
Promotion.
I just want to keep my catchphrase on my thing.
Okay. No cross promotion?
Yeah, cross promote. All right.
We should have talked about this before.
No, it's
all right, so they can make the jump.
Yeah, yeah.
I can say it? You sure?
Yeah, but say why. You say it.
Yeah. On up, down.
Yeah.
Xavier Woods has a little saying he uses to close the show, and that is, keep it tight. Keep it tight.
Creepy.
Keep it tight. Keep it tight, yeah.